Well, good morning. One of the things that we do every week when we come in early is we have a sound check. The singers, they check their microphones, the speaker checks his mic, and the sound man makes sure the sound level is high enough for you to hear us. And one of the things that you hear is, "Can you hear me now?" People will say that. And if you've spent any time in America in the last 10 years, I'm sure you've seen a TV commercial. And this particular TV commercial that I'm thinking of is for a cell phone company. And in this commercial, there's a man who walks around with his phone, and he's saying, "Can you hear me now?" In one scene, he'll be standing in an open field with his phone, and he'll say, "Can you hear me now?" In the next scene, he's walking through a busy city with all the noise, and he's saying, "Can you hear me now?" Well, the whole point of the commercial is to prove to you, the viewer, that this particular cell phone company has the best cell coverage for your phone. And it obviously has worked somewhat because this is the number one cell phone company in America. But I think that God is saying the same thing to us today. He is asking us, "Can you hear me now?" Our text for today is 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 13. "There he came," that he is Elijah, "there he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' Elijah said, 'I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away.' And he said, 'Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord.' And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" So as our scene opens up here in 1 Kings, we see Elijah sitting in a cave. And when I read this, I thought to myself, why in the world is Elijah sitting in this cave? What could possibly be going wrong in his life that is so bad that he's hiding in this cave? And if you read in verse 9, God is wondering the same thing. Because God comes to Elijah and he says, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" What was Elijah doing? In order to understand why Elijah was in this cave, we need to back up a chapter to chapter 18. And if you're familiar with the story of Elijah, then I'm sure you'll remember this story well. In chapter 18, Elijah does battle with the 450 prophets of Baal. Now you see, the people of Israel, they had begun to worship Baal and follow him. And Elijah wanted to call them back to worshiping the one true God. So Elijah challenges these prophets to a battle on the Mount Carmel. And the people of Israel, they heard about this, and they all, the Bible tells us, the entire nation of Israel came to the mountain, and they were on top of the mountain to watch this battle. So Elijah and the prophets of Baal each selected a bull that they laid out on their altars. And Elijah, being the nice guy that he is, he let the prophets of Baal go first. So the prophets of Baal, they began to call out to their God, asking him to come and accept their sacrifice. This went on from morning till noon, and nothing happened. So at this point, the prophets of Baal became desperate, and they began to cut themselves with knives, trying to get their God's attention. And still nothing happened. So as the day began to end, Elijah said, "Okay, enough of this. It's my turn." But before Elijah called on God to accept his sacrifice, he had his servants go and get some pitchers of water. And the servants, they went and got water, and they dumped it on the altar. They got the meat all good and wet, and they got more water. And the wood got wet. They went and got more water. And the altar got wet. And they went back even for more water until there was so much water that it filled the trench around the altar. Now that everything is wet, Elijah decides to call on God. So Elijah calls God and says, "God, please accept the sacrifice." And God accepted that sacrifice that day by sending fire from heaven. That fire comes down and it consumed the meat. God accepted the offering. But the Bible tells us that not only was the meat consumed, but the wet wood was burned up, the altar was destroyed, and the water that was in the trench, it was all dried up. God had just shown himself in a powerful way. Elijah has just had a great spiritual victory over the prophets of Baal. And he did this in front of the entire nation of Israel. So all the people of Israel have seen the greatness of God that day. But Elijah, he quickly forgets this. You see, after Queen Jezebel hears what happened to her prophets, she's outraged. She's very angry. She sends a message to Elijah that says, "By this time tomorrow, you will be dead. I will have you killed." So how does Elijah respond to this threat? Does he remember how he just had seen the power of God the day before? Does he rely on God's strength? Well, let's see what the Bible says is Elijah's response. In chapter 19 and verse 3, we read this. "Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life." So instead of trusting God, who he had just seen work in a miraculous way the day before, he's afraid of this one woman. How a man goes from standing before 450 prophets and all the people of Israel and being strong to being afraid of one woman, I'm not sure. But the Bible tells us Elijah is scared to death and he runs off and he hides in this cave. How often does that happen in our lives? We experience the greatness of God in our life. We see prayer answered, the person that we're praying for, they're healed. We come to church and we just have a great worship time, like this morning, and we feel God's presence very close to us. And we leave church on a spiritual high. But the next day at work, our boss is unhappy with us, and he tells us that our work is not good enough. And we become afraid. We forget, like Elijah, what had just happened the day before, and how great and powerful God was, and how close we felt to Him. And instead, we run away, and we hide in our cave of self-doubt and self-pity. But the great thing is that when we do run away, God does not stop speaking to us. Let's read verses 11 to 13 again. "And he said, 'Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord.' And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" So God is asking Elijah, "Can you hear me now? Even in this dark and difficult time in your life, can you hear me?" As we read these voices, we heard that the voice of God told Elijah to go outside of the cave because the Lord is about to pass by. And the first thing that happens is there's this great strong wind that blows. And the wind is so strong that it breaks the mountains of the rock. But God's not in that wind. And then there's an earthquake. But again, God is not in the earthquake. And then there's a strong fire. And once again, God is not in the fire. Remember, Elijah had just seen God demonstrate his great power by using fire on the Mount Carmel. So I'm thinking, Elijah's sitting there scratching his head or maybe his beard and thinking, where is God? If God's not in the fire, he's not in the earthquake, and he's not in the wind, then where is God? The Bible tells us that after the fire, there's a sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard that whisper, he knew that that was the voice of God. See, God does work in amazing and spectacular ways. There's no doubt about that. But the point of emphasis outside of this cave is not on the spectacular, but on God's quiet ways. So does God really speak to us today? I believe that God does speak to us. John 10:7 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You see, as Christians, we can hear the voice of the shepherd, and we can follow it. Now, I don't believe that this is going to be an audible voice every time, and probably most of the time it's not going to be an audible voice. But God is still speaking to us. Let me give you an example of what I mean from a time in our life. And this was a difficult time in our life, but we could still hear God speaking to us. In 2011, we were living in Miyagi-ken, and we were working at a Japanese church. And both Brian and I had been praying about our life and ministry in Japan and what we should do. As the time was coming for us to renew our visa, and we wanted to know what God wanted us to do with our life. At this time in our ministry, we were independent missionaries, and we both felt that God was telling us to return to America and join a mission agency so that we could become full-time missionaries in Japan for the long haul. So we made the difficult decision to return to America. And just 5 weeks after we left, the earthquake and tsunami of 2011 happened. And as hard as it was for us to be in America during this time, this didn't happen when I practiced. As hard as it was for us to be watching the news of everything, we knew that God had a purpose for our life. So 1 month after this happened, I was able to return to Miyagi and help with some relief work. We had become friends with another local church during this time who had a relief ministry going, and so I came and spent 2 weeks helping them dig mud out of buildings and talk to survivors. But during this time, I was also able to return to the church that we had worked at. And I talked to these people, and they shared with me that they were grateful that we had left. They were happy that our children did not have to go through this experience. And they knew that God was in our decision to leave. You see, if we would not have listened to God during that time, our family could have suffered great harm. One of the roads that was washed away that day was a road that we traveled on quite frequently. And the day and time that the tsunami came was a time that we would usually be traveling on that road. So by listening to God during that time, we're able to be here in Osaka ministering today. Now, I do want to clarify that the disaster in Tohoku has nothing to do with us not being in Tohoku. But God used those events to bring us back to Osaka where our hearts have always been. So you see, many of us ask, why don't I hear God speaking to me? Why am I not hearing from God? I think the problem is that we look for God in the big and amazing things. Like Elijah, we look for God in the earthquake and we look for God in the fire. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't speak that way, because God surely does speak that way. If we look at the conversion of Saul, we see God working in a big way. Saul's walking down the road and suddenly there's this bright light and a voice that speaks to him. And Saul goes from being a persecutor of the church to being a leader in the church. Another example is Moses. Moses is just walking out in the desert, minding his own business, and he sees this bush on fire. And the bush starts talking to him. And that's God speaking to him. You see, God was in both that light and in that fiery bush. But I believe that most of the time, God uses a whisper to speak to us. What happens when somebody whispers? If I were to ask Masao to turn my microphone off and I started speaking in a whisper, what would happen in this room? A few of you here down at the front would still be able to hear me, but those of you in the back, you couldn't hear me. So what would happen? You would have to move from back there to the front so that you could hear what I was saying. And when God speaks to us in a whisper, He's asking us to move closer to Him. You notice, God told Elijah to come out of the cave to where God was going to be. Elijah had to move from where he was to where God was. And I believe God is asking us to do that today. He's asking us to come closer. If you're going through a difficult time in your life, you should ask yourself, where am I standing? Am I standing close to God? Or have I moved away from God? You see, God doesn't move away from us. We move away from Him. And when He speaks to us in a whisper, He's asking us to come back to me. Come close to me again. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're wondering if the voice that you're hearing is really from God, or if it's from your selfish desires and ambitions talking. Well, if that's the case, I have four things that you can use today to be able to tell if it's the voice of God or if it's your own selfish desires talking. Number one, if it's God speaking to you, it will never violate Scripture. I don't know how many times in America I've seen on the news of a murder or a crime happened. You know, somebody goes out and they kill their family, they kill their children. And when they're asked, why did you do such an awful thing? They say, well, God told me to do it. Well, I can guarantee you that God did not tell them to do it because the Bible tells us not to kill. Well, maybe you think that God is telling you to go rob a bank tomorrow. Well, you know that that's really not from God because the Bible tells us not to steal. Or maybe you feel that God is telling you to tell a lie at work, to lie to your boss, or to cheat on the numbers at work. You know that that can't be from God either because the Bible tells us not to lie and not to cheat. Or maybe you believe God is telling you to spread that rumor that you heard or to share that piece of gossip. I can tell you that that's not from God either because those things violate Scripture. Number two, is it wise? You see, God will never tell us to do something that is unwise. Say that I think God is telling me to quit my job and go play video games all day. That sounds like fun, but you know what? I have a family. I have responsibilities. Would that be wise of me to quit my job and play video games? Of course not. So God's not telling me to do that. That's just me wanting to be lazy and play video games. But maybe you're hearing from God that He's calling you to become a full-time servant or to become a missionary. You know, there's wisdom in that. Or maybe God is telling you to go out and love your neighbor who's not really been the nicest to you. But there's wisdom in that because we're supposed to love our neighbors. Number three, does it fit with your talents and gifts? I can believe with all my heart that God is telling me that I am going to be a famous singer and that I should go out on the street and start singing to people. But the fact is, I know I cannot sing on key at all. So I know that this isn't God, because God's not going to ask me to do something that doesn't fit my talents. Maybe I just want to be famous. You know, the Bible tells us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, but that doesn't mean everybody else is going to enjoy it. Or maybe you feel that God is telling you to teach Sunday school. That's great. It's good that you want to teach Sunday school. But you don't like kids, and you don't really have the gift of teaching. Well, that's probably not God talking to you then. Because God's not going to ask you to do something you're not gifted in, and if you don't like children, He's probably not going to ask you to work with children. But if you do like children and you have the gift of teaching, please see somebody, because we can always use more Sunday school teachers. Number four, do spiritually mature believers confirm this word in your life? When we hear something that we think is from God and we're not sure if it's God speaking or if it's our own desires, go and talk to somebody who is spiritually mature and ask them what they think. They can help you look at the situation and tell if there's anything in it that violates Scripture, if there's anything in it that's not wise, and they can help you tell if it meets your gifts and talents. When we made the decision to return to Japan and come here to OIC, we wanted to make sure that it was the right decision and it was really from God and that we weren't moving out of our own selfish ambitions or desires. So we talked to spiritually mature believers both here in Japan and people in America. And they confirmed it in our life that, yes, this seems to be what God is calling you to do. So here we are. So when you are faced with a decision and not knowing if it's really God or not, talk to somebody, somebody you trust, somebody who's mature in their faith. In fact, it would probably be good if you talked to two or three people and spend some time in prayer with them. Share with them what you're feeling and what you believe you're hearing from God. And listen to the advice and counsel they give you. In conclusion, I want to tell you a story. Now, I've heard this story told in a number of different ways, but the meaning is always the same. There are two men, and they're out walking through New York City. And it's really noisy. New York City is a busy, loud place. The taxi cabs, they're honking their horns, and there's the sound of lots of people talking. If you've ever been through Tennoji Station during rush hour, you know the kind of noise I'm talking about. It's the kind of noise where you really can't even think for yourself. So these two guys, the one, he's a native to New York City. He's used to all this noise. It's what he grew up with. The other man, he comes from the country, and he has studied bugs his entire life. So they're walking along, talking and having a good time, catching up on current events. And the man from the country stops, and he says to his friend, "Do you hear that?" The man from the city looks at him and says, "Hear what?" Now, this man, he'd studied bugs his whole life. He says, "Do you hear the sound of the cricket?" And the man from the city looks at him strange. He's like, how in the world can you hear a cricket amongst all of this noise? Instead of answering, the man from the country reaches in his pocket, and he takes out a handful of change, and he throws it on the ground. And when that money hits the ground, 10 people are walking by. They stop, and they look to see if they drop some change. Now, the man from the country looks at his friend and says, we hear what we want to hear. Are you tuned into the voice of Jesus? Are you listening to His voice? Or do you listen to the outside noise that the world produces? Are you distracted by the noise in your life? Are you distracted by all the things that you need to do every day? Or are you stopping and listening for God? I want to encourage you to stop what you're doing. Shut off all that noise. Turn off the cell phone. Turn off Facebook. Get away from all of those things. And listen for the whisper from God. My last question for you today is this. What are you listening for? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you are a God who still speaks to us and that you talk to us and that we can hear from you. And I thank you that you do work in big and amazing ways because you are God and you are great. And we need to see those big and amazing things. But we also need to be still and know that you are God. And we need to sometimes wait on you and to hear from you and to turn off all the noise and focus on you. I just pray for us today as a church, as we have major decisions to make. I pray that we would listen to you, that we would shut off all the noise that we've been hearing and just focus on you and what we believe you are telling us to do as a church. And I pray that you would be with each member here today, that you would bless them this week, that they would go out and that they would love their neighbors and that they would listen for your voice. And when they hear it, that they would obey. I pray this in your name. Amen.